Time now for Heart to Heart, being brought to you by Zunich Advisory Services. Here's Jackie LeBeau.
Good morning, everybody. Can you believe it's almost the end of October already? I just cannot believe it. However, I love October. It's probably my favorite month because I love the colors and the fall colors and the leaves changing. And it's my birthday month. So I figure it's all good. It's all good. And it's just so pretty out when the sun's out because you've got that crisp coolness and the pretty leaves. So when it's nice out, get out and enjoy it because it's just beautiful. Good time for walking, everybody. So this morning, I'm very happy once again. We have a fellow animal communicator and psychic medium coming on the show this morning, and Lisa Larson will be here. She's calling in all the way from California, so she is up bright and early out there. So it's going to be like barely 6 o'clock for her, so this is an early day for her. And Lisa, as an animal communicator, actually has a specialty in animals in spirit, so we're going to talk about that. This is a good time for that as we celebrate most of those in spirit at this time of year. And she is known for her compassion, her honesty, integrity, and ethics. And I can attest to that. Lisa is a psychic medium also. She and I were both certified by internationally known psychic medium Lisa Williams. And Lisa Larson works worldwide. So no matter where you are and no matter where you know people, they can get a hold of Lisa and get some help as well with their spirit loved ones and their animals. With a lifetime of study and experience in the metaphysical sciences, Lisa can connect you with your animals and loved ones in the afterlife to deliver messages of hope and comfort, as well as connecting to your animals that are right here and now in your life. And you might just want to chat and find out what's going on with them. You might want to address some behavior issues, or you might want to find out how they're feeling if you're thinking they're having some medical problems as well. Lisa has a master's degree in human behavior, and she lives in Carlsbad, California, with her husband, Michael, and their two feline fur kids, Cuba and Makana. So welcome, Lisa.
Happy birthday.
Yes, thank you. It is. I love October. It's always been, you know, I just love the fall. You know, I like the spring, too, but there's something magical about the fall.
Yeah, we were just talking about that the other day. I mentioned it to my husband. I think fall has become my favorite season.
Now, what's it like out there in California in the fall? I mean, do you have the leaves turning just like we do here on the east?
No, not quite like that. There are some places where, they get a little yellow and die.
Uh-huh.
But, no, it's more people here know the fall just because of the angle of the sun and the feel of the, you know, you said the crispness in
yes.
the air.
That was my tongue twister for this morning.
it's more of a feel and the angle of the sun. So unfortunately, we don't get those beautiful fall colors. I have been to Connecticut once for a fall, and oh my God, it was just fabulous, and I would love to see it again.
I think
my husband, you know, misses that part of being.
Is he from the east?
He's from New York. Yeah.
Oh, he's from New York, so yeah, I'm sure he does miss that.
Yeah.
You know, because he grew up with that, and so you should tell him when he plans his visits home, always make it in the fall.
That's right. But of course, the difference is I was listening to your weather before we came on, and this today it'll be in the 70s here. So.
Yeah. I know. There's always pros and cons, and I agree with you. And like when we have all that snow and ice, you know, the problem is we get the ice. Now he would get the ice in New York. You know, I have friends in Boston, and they don't get the ice up there as much because I guess it doesn't get low enough temperature to actually, you know, be doing all that freezing and thawing. You know, they just get snow and they don't have to deal with that. So I always tell people, they always complain to us about, you know, well, you guys, a little bit of snow and you're like crazy about the roads. And I said, yeah, but the roads are different here.
Yeah, it's if you go up northern California, like, you know, Sacramento, even Sacramento and such, I remember they don't get snow, but it gets cold enough that if it gets rain or just dew, they have black ice.
Oh, and that's really deadly because you just don't see it. And it's like, and then you're on it and you can't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I said. People always say, well, you have an SUV. I say, an SUV does nothing on ice.
No, in fact, I think they're more dangerous, aren't they? Because they can tip or something.
You just have to be careful. I mean, like I just have a real little one, but you know, it's like you just have to be. You just have to be careful. I just have it because I need four-wheel drive because we live on a dirt road.
Oh yeah.
And that doesn't get plowed until the very end of the list. So I mean, we've actually been stuck for 3 days.
Can't even imagine. I mean, I grew up in L.A., lived in San Diego, like the farthest from my concept.
But I have to tell you, you know, at first I was thinking, I don't know how I'm going to feel about this dirt road. Turns out the dirt road is a cut through for a lot of people. So it, believe it or not, it gets a lot of traffic. But it's also, you know, and it's nice because, you know, you can go out and you walk on the road and there's just something about living on a dirt road just makes you understand.
It must be beautiful.
Yeah, that you're out there and we're in the woods.
I do miss that because there's just too much. And, you know, bringing it back to animals, that's the problem out here is that there's so much development that, you know, and with the drought, the animals have no place to go. My husband woke up one morning and there was a bobcat sitting in our driveway. And when it wasn't even hardly fearful. I mean, my husband actually had to get out of the car, and then finally, when he did, he took off into the back of our house, which kind of leads me into what, you know, something that we talked about today and that's keeping your animals indoors.
Yes, I want to talk about that because at this time of year, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I mean, certainly on Halloween, leave your cats, your animals indoors because who knows what pranks people are playing out there and there can be some very mean things. But it's just really important, you know. I mean, like I say, about especially out here, I was talking to somebody the other day. She said she was out 8 in the morning, you know. I mean, it wasn't even dark still, and she saw coyotes. So, you know, there's so many, you know, and here with all the traffic, there's so many dangers now. And I think people think that, you know, that it's cruel to keep your cats indoors. And my kind of running joke on this is that even PETA recommends that you keep your cats indoors. And if PETA doesn't think it's cruel, PETA thinks everything is cruel. So, you know, and don't get me wrong, I think PETA does great, you know, great work. But, you know, if they think it's something that even they recommend, there's something to it. And I have to tell you, when we talk about pet grief, you know, there's a big component to the people that I get calling me saying, well, you know, I just let my cats out because they never, you know, they don't ever go past the backyard. And, you know, there's nothing that any animal communicator can say to a cat to tell them to just stay in the backyard.
Well, they have free will, too. It's like I always tell people, it's like telling an 8-year-old little boy something like that once and expecting them to always listen to that for the rest of their life.
Exactly. And you never know, you know, I mean, a bird can fly by.
Anything can get their attention.
Anything. And even one person that I, one of my clients, she, fortunately, her cat was okay, but was in the backyard, and another cat came into the backyard and got into a fight and hurt
her cat. Yeah, I was going to say, I have a good friend with cats, and, you know, they are definitely very upset when another cat comes into their property. And one thing that she does, Lisa, that I do think is nice, she actually has these little cat harnesses, and she puts them on a line. And when she's home, she lets them go out on the back porch, you know, and they'll also lay right in there at the garden. And she's got all, you know, she's got this beautiful garden with, you know, some little trees. So they get a little chance to be outside, get the fresh air, get a little dirt.
It's a great idea. I used to do that with one of my cats. You know, I strung together, you know, several leashes, and uh-huh. She was only out there when I was out there with her. But she could only go so far, but she could lay on the grass, she could do her things, you know, and watch the goings on and get the fresh air.
Yeah.
But they can't wander off. But, you know, unfortunately, I had a very sad call a week or two ago, where you mentioned the harness.
Mm-hmm.
The woman, and she's had this cat for so long, I've worked with this cat for so long, she said she had her on a harness, but she didn't have her tethered with the harness. And I asked her, well, why? She said, well, I thought if the harness was on there, she wouldn't jump onto the fence because she doesn't like the feel of the harness.
Oh, wow.
And but she jumped onto the fence, she wandered off, and still, you know, I've not heard back from her, so I'm sure she's not found the cat yet. So,
oh my goodness. Well, that's somebody just really not thinking. I mean, you're partly thinking, you put the harness on to let him outside, but then you don't attach him to anything.
Right. So it's just, and I think it's like we talked about the last time. People don't know until, you know, they can't know until they learn it.
Yeah.
Until they hear it. And so I'm hoping that people will hear this today and really take it to heart that, you know, I mean, there are so many ways to keep their animals safe. You know, I mean, we have like a little thing, you know, a little netted thing that you zip and unzip, and the cats can go in there. It sits outside on
our patio. I was going to say, because we have a lot of screened-in porches in this area.
Yeah,
patios.
You can make patios, you know, screen them in. There's a rescue place that does a fundraiser here every year, and we go over to the place that they have that, the house that they have that. They have the most magnificent catrium. Oh, my God, it's got little tunnels that come out from the house so they can take a window out of the house, a little tunnel into a huge thing with all sorts of trees. And, you know, you can get as fantastic with them as you want or can afford, you know. But, you know, like I say, even the littlest things, you know, my cats love, you know, it's just a, you know, 3 feet long or, you know, a couple of feet high, 2 feet, three feet long or whatever. And they go, and I have a little cushion out there, and they sit and they watch the birdies, and they love it, and they're happy. You know, as long as you keep them active inside the house and play with their, you know, play with them with their toys, they don't want for anything.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, she actually has, my friend actually has the one little girl, and, you know, she just showed up at their house, you know, and took her in. But, you know, she was afraid to go back outside.
Yes.
So people, you know, you have to remember that. I mean, and, you know, they think that, you know, she might have been, that a hawk might have swooped down on her when she was little and just really scared her. And, like, now she will go out when Cheryl's out there, but Cheryl always, even though she has the harness and the line on her, she always leaves the patio door open so that she can run in if she wants to. And occasionally she do. She'll run in and then she'll go back out.
Yep. And that is true, but it's like what you said, you know, I mean, you wouldn't expect an 8-year-old to understand this. They get distracted. And, you know, it brings up another thing. There's been a story out here just recently, yesterday, I heard the final verdict on it, and I'm upset about it, frankly. It was a woman who signed an agreement with a rescue organization and said that she would, the rescue organization's agreement said, you have to keep the cat indoors. And this particular cat had been indoors all its life. And She let the cat out. She chose to breach that agreement, let the cat out, and the cat was mauled by a dog and killed.
Oh, my goodness.
And the rescue organization filed suit of breach of contract for her, and they lost. And I'm not quite sure why or how, and that makes it difficult because, you know, that's really all the recourse that rescue organizations have. I mean, if people don't want to abide by that, then don't sign the contract. There's plenty of places you can go to the county shelter.
Right.
And get animals,
find,
which don't have
right,
those.
And adopt those an animal.
What's that?
I said, yeah, right, there's plenty of places that you can go to adopt an animal, but
don't
necessarily have
those. Yeah, to adopt a rescue animal.
Yeah.
Without signing those agreements. But this is their guidelines. And so it's difficult because it highlights the dangers. I mean, I talked about the dangers of wild animals and, and cars, but this was a dog.
Yeah.
You know, and how many dogs are out and about every day?
Yeah, so you just don't know. You really have to be careful.
Yeah. So, again, bringing back to Halloween, especially on Halloween, please, please, please keep your animals indoors on Halloween.
Good reminder. Okay, well, Lisa, we're going to take a real quick break here at 9:30, and then we'll be right back with more with Lisa Larson, our guest animal communicator.
It's time now for more Heart to Heart with Jackie LeBeau, brought to you by Zunic Advisory Services.
Okay, everybody, we're back, and my guest this morning is Lisa Larson, a fellow animal communicator and psychic medium, and we're also both Reiki masters. I love that, Lisa. We have so much in common with what we do. And we've been talking about keeping your animals inside and safe, especially over this Halloween time frame. So, because sometimes people can be a little cruel and unthoughtful at this time of year, especially. So, and you know, and the whole point of that is to just keep them safe so no nasty accidents happen, because it's so, so hard to lose animals. It's like losing children.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it absolutely is.
And Lisa, I know you work with people a lot on that particular subject, you know, this whole grieving thing. And I'm sure, and I'd like to talk about some of the things people can do to get over the loss of one of their beloved animals. And also, have you addressed that issue with brother and sister animals in the household, you know, and how, because they grieve as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, I work with that. That's one of the first things that I tell people is that we do rituals for a reason. And things like funerals, even birthdays, graduations, all of those things are rituals. And we do that so that we can impress upon our subconscious that a change has happened.
Right.
That someone has left. And I know in the back of my mind, I think, well, you know, they're going to think I'm crazy for saying this, but I always say it anyway, is to make sure to have some sort of memorial for your pet and include your other pets in it.
Oh,
you know,
that's
whether
perfect.
It's just sitting, you know, lighting a candle and everybody in the family getting around. I know when we lost one of our cats, my husband picked out his, you know, a favorite poem of his, and he read it. And it just, you know, whether you just talk about the pet, you know, just to honor them and memorialize them in a way that honors them, but let the other animals be there, and because they have to go through their grieving process as well.
Right, and it helps to give them closure, just like it does for us.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting because you never know what they're taking away from it. My sister-in-law contacted me a few weeks ago with a tragic, tragic story of she had a little kitten and something had fallen on it. I guess it had tried to jump up and pulled something off the shelf, and it fell on it, and it crushed it, and it died. And I thought she was going to have me talk to the kitten, but she was having me talk to her dog, who had become very bonded to the kitten. And when I talked to the dog, the first thing he said was, I liked him because he was my size, because the dog is a very small dog. And it wasn't until I understood that later on as we talked, because he said, I'm afraid the same thing's going to happen to me.
Oh, so he was really upset now because he saw something happen and realized it was because of the smallness and size.
Right. And so I explained to him, Mommy and Daddy, first of all, Mommy and Daddy understand this on another level now, but this was just a freak accident and you are safe. And she, you know, she emailed me a couple of days later and said he was just like a completely different dog. It was like a completely different dog. So they may have concerns that we don't even know about, because we're looking at them saying, oh, well, he just misses her.
Right.
Which he did. But, you know, they may have concerns that we aren't even aware of. So make sure to kind of think about what those other concerns might be, and tell them. If you talk to your animals just in your voice, they will understand. They may not understand every word of English, but we speak words with intent, and they understand intent.
Right.
So think about what those other things might be and explain to them. And if it persists, then you can call somebody like yourself or myself, but most times talking to them and assuring them will help.
That's very interesting, because, you know, sometimes even I forget that, you know, that because you're just so sure that it's just a grief thing. And here there was a whole fear attached to it that had nothing to do with having lost that kitten, except that it put that fear that could happen to me.
Right. And it just, I mean, when he said it, I was like, oh, my God, you know, and then I understood that first statement. I liked him because he was my size.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so he definitely was projecting himself at the same thing. I mean, it's always amazing to me, I'm sure to you too, Lisa. I mean, the things that come out of these animals, you know, thoughts and mouths, and like, you just, it totally always takes me by surprise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. And, you know, it's interesting. If people are interested in some of the things that they can do, I will put it on my website. I have it on my blog, but I will also put it on my website, or a link on my website, that I have a list of like 12 things you can do to help yourself and your other animals once you've lost a pet. Because there are a lot of things that you can do. You can, you know, create a photo book, you can, you know, get pictures and put, you know, a collage, you can write in a journal, you can plant a tree, memorial tree, all of the same things that you would do if you lost a human in your life.
Yeah, and you know, when you said that, that's one of the things that we do. Now, we're big into gardening and on our property, and, you know, we always go out and get something special. And most recently, I lost one of my golden retrievers, you know, who was I was very attached to. And her name was Sunny Sunshine. And we actually, my sister, bless her, actually found a daylily called You Are My Sunshine.
Oh, perfect.
So we put in, you know, a little daylily garden down by the pond, you know, which, you know, that was like their favorite place, because they loved, you know, jumping in the pond and swimming. And, you know, it's a farm pond size, you know. So, you know, I thought that was just so perfect. And we've done that before. We've had Pyrenees that have passed, and we've got these beautiful, large, white, oh, I can't think what the name of the flower is now. It's like a little bush. Hydrangea. Mm-hmm. You know, hydrangea, I guess people say. But, you know, that's been something that we have always done, and we've done for friends of ours, too. And
yeah, we've done that.
Yeah, and, you know, and it, like, either blooms every year or it comes up every year, and it's just such a nice memorial.
Yeah, because it's a living memorial. What we will do, actually, is we will bury their ashes and then plant a tree.
Ah, nice.
So we figure that, you know, the roots, the ashes, it all becomes part of the earth. And with regard to that, I want to explain to people, too, that, you know, I think sometimes people might do that, but then they, like, for instance, our cats, we were buried in Central California, and we moved, and even I had a little twinge of I don't want to move away from them. But, you know, to assure people that, you know, that is something, one of the reasons that you do that is that they become part of the earth, and everything is connected, and no matter where you go, either on the earth or in spirit, they are always going to be, they'll still be with you in spirit, and they're still part of the earth that you walk on.
Yeah, you're still connected that way, and you've had that, you know, that chance to really enjoy that beauty. It's so interesting.
Yeah. Yes,
oh,
absolutely.
I love that. I had a thought and just went right out of my head when you were saying that, but it'll come back.
Yeah. Well, it is hard, you know. I mean, you know, I saw something written the other day, you know, about saying, you know, I take care of my pets when just because my child has four legs doesn't mean I'm any less of a mother. You know, I still worry about them when they're sick. I take them to the vets. I buy them toys. They, you know, I make sure that they're safe. All of these things. And, you know, they are our kids.
Yeah, I know. And we are mommy. And I love it. It's like, how many people, and I know all our listeners can relate to this, call themselves mommy. You know, I always say, yeah, I like to my kids, you know, my little doggy kids, you know, I'm mommy and there's daddy. And mm-hmm. I love it when people do that to me and say, well, tell them mommy says.
Yeah.
And I always tell them, you know, you can tell them yourself. You know, they hear you.
Mm-hmm. That's right. You're the pet mommy and daddy, and that's what they know us as.
Absolutely.
It's interesting. I watched a thing on 60 Minutes the other day about Anderson Cooper was doing a thing about studying dogs to see if when they lick you and do all of the things that they do to show love, if it's really love or they just want food. And it's like,
oh my gosh, he didn't really do
and
that,
it's like,
did
you
he?
Had to do a test to figure this out. I mean, all you have to do is look at them. All that you have to do is feel them with your heart.
Yeah.
And you know that they love you. You know that it's not just, you know, a reaction to something that they get.
All right, so I just have to say, I have to just guess that Anderson Cooper does not have animals in his home.
Absolutely, he does.
He does?
He absolutely does. He has a dog, and he was open to it, but it was just funny to hear him say something to the effect of, I think he's playing me every once in a while, you know? And it's like, well, okay, they could play you. Yes, they can play you, but that has nothing to do with them loving you.
Yeah, and I always tell people, that, you know, that happens less often than you think, that
yes.
They're playing you.
Yes, exactly.
That's a human thing.
Exactly. Because we have to understand that when an animal has a behavioral issue or when they're doing something, they're doing it for a reason. We may not understand the reason, but it doesn't mean they don't have a good reason.
Right, right, definitely. And a lot of times, you know, I get this, people think they're like vindictive or they're mad about something,
oh,
and so they're
yes.
doing this. But I haven't found that. Do you find
no.
that? Okay, I just wanted to get your read on that too, because I really don't find that to be true.
No, that's us putting
exactly.
our, you know,
it's our human thing we're putting on there. Like they're, you know, they're mad, so they're going to do something bad.
Yeah, and I know there's a word for it that I would mispronounce. Anthropomorphic.
Okay, or something like that, yeah.
I can't pronounce it. I've never been able to pronounce that word. But I know it exists.
Yeah. And
we're putting a personification on that animal, and it's our... you know, it's our energies and our reactions, but it's not an animal. It's not a reaction that the animal, you know, animals when you know, even when they're, you know, spraying or something, it's not necessarily. It's not vindictiveness. They might be angry about something, but they're trying to tell you that they're angry about something. They don't have the same vindictive
Right. That's their way of communicating to you because they don't know how else to get through to you.
Exactly.
So it's like putting up like their red flags that, you know, something's wrong here, you know, and, you know, we need to change this.
And the first thing that people should do is take them to the vet. We should not be the first line of what's wrong with my pet.
Yeah, I tell that people too. That's my first question. Have you seen your vet?
Absolutely. You know, because I got an email the other day, and she says, "Oh, last night my dog, you know, he couldn't stand up. He looked dizzy. He was, you know, all of these terrible things, you know, terrible symptoms." And she says, "Well, I didn't want to go to the vet. I thought I'd call you first." And I was like, "No."
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
No, go to the first. You know, we're not veterinarians. Oh, my God, I can't speak. It's 6 o'clock in the morning.
I know, I got
we're
you.
We're not vets.
I know, I always tell people that, too. And it's funny, you know, but, it, you know, it's like they just, you know what you are? You're a helper, Lisa. And that's what, in their mind, you know, we've been become the helper, so they come to us first.
Right. And I appreciate that they trust us. Of course, this person was not my regular clients know that, you know
right.
to go to the vet first. But I appreciate that people put that much faith in us, but there are limitations to what we can do. And there is a reason, and there are holistic vets out there, and I completely understand when people are you know, concerned about going to allopathic vets who are not open to holistic methods and, you know, depending on people's views.
Right.
But there are holistic vets out there and, you know, there are reasons for, you know, there are reasons for vets being there. You know, they can do things that we can't and we can do things that they can't.
Absolutely. So now, Lisa, let's tell people real quick how to get a hold of you because we're running out of time because I want them to also know where your website and blog is so they can get those 12 things they can do once they lost a pet.
My website is pawstalk.net, pawstalk.net, and I have a link to my blog. I will actually put a link today. I will put a link to that particular
To that, okay.
Yeah, to that post.
Okay, wonderful.
But there is a link to my blog there.
And then also, could you give people your phone number as well?
Yeah, it's 760-444-0811.
Wonderful, Lisa. As always, I so enjoy when you come on the show with us. It's just delightful. So thank you so much for getting up real early this morning and joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. And maybe next time we speak, I will be able to speak.
All right. Well, have a safe and happy Halloween.
You too, sweetheart, and happy birthday.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Heart to Heart is being brought to you by Zunich Advisory Services.
Hey, we're back, everybody. And I want to thank Lisa Larson again for joining us this morning. It's always a delight to have her on. And I want to let everybody know that I'll be seeing you on November 4th. I'm going to be out next week. I'm going to be attending an advanced mediumship class with Tony Stockwell, a famous medium from England. So I've been really looking forward to this class. And unfortunately, I'm going to miss the radio show next week, but I'll be back on November 4th. Also, I wanted to let everybody know that I have a cooking event, a cooking and group reading event this Sunday, October 26th. Here come the holidays, simple and delicious tips and tricks to get you through. And that is just such a delightful thing with Chef Donna Desfor. And so that's coming up. That's wonderful. And I also wanted to remind people that I do have offices in Hanover and York. And you can give me a call at my office, 717-968-5289, if I can help you for an in-person or a group reading for you as well. And this is that time of year where everybody's thinking about the holidays and thinking about Christmas presents. So I'll also remind you that I do holiday gift certificates. So if you're looking for something for somebody, the gift certificates come in denominations from $10 to $150, which which is a full one-hour reading. So those just make either nice stocking stuffers or wonderful gifts for special people in your life that would like to connect to loved ones that have passed over in spirit. So I'm thinking that's everything. I really enjoyed having Lisa on this morning because I love sharing different perspectives of my guests, whether they're fellow mediums or fellow animal communicators. And so I encourage all of you, if you're looking for one of those, make sure you find the person that you're most comfortable with to get a reading or work with your animals, because that makes a huge, huge difference. All right, everybody, have a great week, and I'll see you on November 4th.